Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some? I knew you'd come. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now!
Alrighty then.
You're grim.
Quit distorting our words.
What is this? Some kind of fun house?
Why, having fun?
Make no mistake.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Earlier this year, the Kia Voice Challenge took over TikTok, and because of it, thousands of cars just like this one have been stolen with nothing more than a screwdriver and an iPhone cable. How the hell do you steal a car with just these two things? Well, today, we're going to find out.
Slide whistle. There we go. AM770 KTTH. Brian Suits here, and the head producer Greg over there, and we'll hear from the Seattle City attorney. She spoke with Jason Rance yesterday about the lawsuit that she filed in federal district court with the TikTok challenge probably being the reason that Kia and Hyundai theft in the city of Seattle is up over 600% year over year, and it because the video easily available on TikTok or, in this case, the YouTube.
Ten. You steal a car with just these two things. Well, today, we're going to find out.
I'm sorry, what?
Tens of millions of views for that video for how to steal a Kia.
Just one.
And shouldn't that person be held responsible at all?
I don't think you
don't
understand
think so?
How performative civil service works, Greg. And so... and there's dozens and dozens and dozens of different YouTubers showing you how to use. And I still, because I can't get past minute four on this clown, I have not heard whether it's just iPhone. If it's iPhone, it's a USB to an iPhone. So it's regular, USB, and then it goes into your iPhone. I haven't seen whether Android works or type C.
If I produce a video,
are you on the type C standard now? It's like a stretched out oval.
I hate how much they change this. Like every 5 years,
the trapezoid of mini USB.
We get a new USB every new season. But if I produce a video and post it online, and I say, "Hey, look how easy it is to break into my neighbor's house." I'm not going to do it, but look how easy it is to do. Shouldn't I be held at least partially responsible if that comes to pass?
No,
somebody robs
the
them?
Maker of the video camera has to be held responsible.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
So what are we talking around if you're just joining us? Well, City Attorney Kim Davison of Seattle, seeing that the darn kids these days aren't being prosecuted, aren't being pulled over, aren't being held without bail, but they are stealing Kias and Hyundais and then using them to commit other crimes or just destroy them or whatever. So her move, and this is such a three-level chess move, is to sue Kia.
They've chosen to cut those corners, and they've shifted the burden onto those customers and to the public to just deal with it. And it's time to say, no, you need to be held accountable for that.
They've shifted the burden, and so I will put that in reverse. Thank you. Well, she spoke with Jason Rance yesterday about this. I mean, I don't know that Kia has a standing in this. Is there a due diligence for theft proof? I see people walking away from Kias and going, pew.
Exactly.
That's
like
my car sound. Wait, they press a button and it goes,
we're going to find out.
There you go. So, by the way, I'll donate $10 to the King County Animal Shelter if someone can tell me what City Attorney Kim Davis, what make of car. I only want to know if it's a Kia or a Hyundai.
Here's another fun soundbite to accompany that comment.
I said Kim, it's Ann Davison, the city attorney. So she was on with Jason Rance yesterday on the Jason Rance, the aptly named, the eponymous Jason Rance show from 3-6 right here on AM 770 KTTH. And here's a couple little clips.
Kia and Hyundai has chosen to cut corners and cut costs at the expense of their customers. And as you said, as a result of this, our police force has had to tackle a huge rise in vehicle theft with already stretched resources. It's risen to the level of a public nuisance, so we are pursuing that to make sure we can get the problem fixed once and for all.
I'm going to say teen car theft is a public nuisance. What do you say? What did she say? Risen to the level? I would say has been. And she also addressed Jason Esther about police pursuit laws. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Do you put any blame on policies such as a vehicular pursuit ban, which I would argue makes these cases a lot easier to go through, these theft to go through with? If you know you're not going to get caught by a cop, all you have to do is jump in that stolen vehicle, drive away, and you know that they're not going to chase.
What I do know is it makes our roads unsafe, and I will agree with you that the more we can do to make our roads safer, the better. But when we have people that are in vehicles that they've stolen, they're already going to take risky behavior. They're going to make our streets unsafe, our sidewalks unsafe. That's what we've seen. Oftentimes, they commit other criminal acts in the process. So whatever we can do to help bolster and help assist our city's law enforcement efforts at auto theft, that's what I'm looking to do here. And this is one way we can do that.
Do you think there are policies that have been passed either on the local level or at the state level that are also contributing to the rise in crime?
I think there's a lot that we can do, and I like to see where we're looking for the enforcement of the laws that we have. So
that is a political answer. You know I love you.
That is a coppity cop-out. That's a hippity-hop, coppity-cop, cop-out by the city attorney on that one.
However, you know I'm also not going to let you get away with such a political answer. Let's be specific. Do you think there are any laws that have been passed that, and even strategies that have been implemented that have made the process worse? You, again, as a candidate, you were happy to call them out, and we supported you for calling them out.
I think there's a lot of things that can change and will help in the improvement of public safety. And so I fully support all of those changes because what we need to do all things that we can to aid in the increase of public safety. And so today, really, though, I will refocus you in our conversation because this is one tool that we can do to assist those cities' law enforcement efforts to combat auto theft. And I think that everyone should do all that we can because my role in the public safety circle, as I talk about, is to prosecute and to make sure that we are there to assist when that referral is given to us from the Seattle Police Department.
But you're also seeing a rise, though, of theft in cars beyond Kia and Hyundai, right?
There's been an increase. This one is shocking, though. It is a dramatic increase.
I wonder if Kim Davison is unaware of the TikTok channel. I mean, that's a very real possibility that she doesn't know that in 2022, because the kids weren't in school and they were so bored, they came up with a how to steal a Kia TikTok challenge. I mean, if that was covered earlier in the interview, I apologize. But does she not know this? Because this is like suing the inventor of the wheel for being able to drive a Kia. Or as I've been saying, to death, and Lord knows I never beat a joke to death, suing Ring doorbells for a home invasion. And I mean, this is really, really cynical, and I might be, you know, tying too many strings together on this one, but I might want to concentrate on a early settlement with Kia, unless they lawyer up on this one, so that the city's coffers are topped off for the lawsuit for the Seattle PD Ford Explorer that actually killed an innocent bystander in South Lake Union. Because I just have a weird feeling that may be settled out of court real fast. A little more on that 23-year-old that was killed by a Seattle PD Explorer who was going code, but apparently without siren or something, but going to a call that involves Seattle Fire as well, hit a 23-year-old woman who was a master's candidate at Northeastern University, has a remote campus here in Seattle, and was hit by a cop doing his job, going very fast to a thing, to a call for service. And I'm just waiting for somebody to, never mind pursuits, how about like police can't go more than 35 miles an hour to an emergency or something. But anyway, that would be what I might concentrate on. But
And if people want to catch that interview in its entirety that Jason Rantz did with Ann Davison, it's up at mynorthwest.com.
But again, they're shifting responsibility.
They've chosen to cut those corners and they've shifted the burn it onto those customers.
So I'm going to put that in reverse. She might want to use that in the court case. We'll see if there is another city that jumps on board that I would be shocked by that, because I mean, this was known months ago. I think we talked about it San Diego, Portland, name insert other West Coast city name here, and then Detroit, Chicago. It's stupid TikTok, and then people on YouTube making fun of stupid TikTok. So evidently, if I was Kia, I think I would be showing that, hey, when that challenge came along, we changed everything. And I don't know if they put out a recall notice or whatever, but hey, if you want to learn how to steal a...
Earlier this year, the Kia Voice Challenge took over TikTok. And because of it, thousands of cars just like this one have been stolen with nothing more than a screwdriver and an iPhone cable. How the hell do you steal a car with just these two things? Well, today, we're going to find out.
Slide whistle. There you go. So that's, you know, still up. I might throw in TikTok and YouTube on that. But so Kia and Hyundai thefts have been up across the country, hundreds of percent. Here in Seattle, 600% year-over-year. And speaking of 2022, the adjusted with the gross domestic product of December being 2.9%, the overall 2022 GDP has been adjusted to 2.2%, which is not a depression. It's not a recession, I should say. It's a growth thing, which is more than China can claim this year. So there I am tying all those things into to one thing. And so speaking of hosts here at KTTH, yesterday in the daytime, I went and saw Unacceptable Village. And I didn't know it had a name, but the independent, innovative married couple that are taking stuff they claim out of dumpsters and building a tiny house on that little triangular pizza slice median that is raised above you as you're getting on from Mercer to I-5 South. It's up to your right. And I wanted to see it in the daytime. So I went in the daytime yesterday, and before I knew that it had a name, the governor named it when confronted by a TV station one below Channel 5. So we're going to put this up on KTTH.com later on today. My little adventure at, as it turns out, Unacceptable.
So this is the Mercer Street on-ramp there, just to orient Seattle.
Normally you would...
And this is the actual Mercer Street.
You would call this...
Right here.
South Lake Union.
And what's going on here is a tiny home encampment, but not the normal tiny home. This one has been built by a homeless couple, and Seattle disagrees.
Let me just say, WashDOT did their due diligence. They fenced it off. Okay, it's fenced off from Mercer Street proper is a one-way street that goes up to the right. And then the Mercer on-ramp is downhill to the left. This is the wedge in between them. WashDOT did their job. They put a big brown chain link all around it, probably with the logical assumption at the time, 1958, that there wouldn't be tribes of homeless vagrants crushing and smoking fentanyl and making tiny homes, or nor would they envision tiny home villages. So they did their due diligence decades ago, but someone cut the gate.
Jeez.
Oh, wait. Am I going in there?
Yeah, you can only live in a Seattle-designated tiny home. So this is a little strip of land, a little triangle of land that...
You know what's weird about odor memory, Greg?
Odor memory?
Yeah. I'm watching my own video from yesterday, and I can re-smell it.
Oh, it's evocative.
Because it's mud. Of course, there's no grass. There's trees and stuff. It's a lovely little front yard for someone, except for the smell of human effluvia.
That WashDOT owns.
And I'm now overlooking the Mercer Street on-ramp. There's no fence on that side. No nothing. You turn to the west. Oh, look, there's Google Cloud. There's all of South Lake Union, the whole SLU neighborhood. Super high-end condos, the whole thing.
There's your Google Cloud services.
I said that. Thank you. So on my way to work this morning, I says to myself, why not go there at, because I went yesterday morning, but I didn't have the right camera. And I says to myself, bring the right camera and go back at night and see what kind of fun and games are going on.
Hey, Brian Suits here. It's Thursday morning, the 26th of January, and I'm here at South Lake Union. It's a very, very Tony neighborhood. There's Google Cloud there, a very expensive hotel there.
Anyway, get to the point.
And new condos opening here. Look this place up, the Rivet. This is tiny, unacceptable village. Because a couple has built their own hand-built tiny house there.
That the occasional crack and bang that you hear is someone breaking up a pallet right there at Tiny Unacceptable Village, probably for some very acceptable heat or something, because there's a burning barrel going on. And you're saying to yourself, you're all minding your own business, and you're saying to yourself, why does he call it Tiny Unacceptable Village? Well, because a TV channel whose name shall not be spoken for three more weeks talked to the governor, and he christened this pizza slice vagrant drug camp with that name.
Homeless encampment underneath the I-90 I-5 interchange. WashDOT tells us their work can only begin after there's been outreach to find housing for people in the camps.
This is not acceptable. We cannot allow this to be the status quo.
Today, Governor Jay Inslee told Como's Chris Daniels that the situation here on Mercer Street.
So he's talking, the governor is taking time to specifically address a thing he saw on TV on some channel that doesn't make him, doesn't put him in the best possible light. And so for that reason, he's commenting specifically on Tiny and Unacceptable Village.
Needs to be dealt with ASAP.
The homelessness encampment situation we have is not acceptable.
No.
That's why we have to take action. That's why I'm asking legislators to step up to the plate.
The governor wants more affordable housing, more mental health resources, and more substance abuse treatment. But he also says allowing encampments like this to go on is not an option.
We need action. This cannot be acceptable as the long-term.
So there you go. I want someone to make me, entering unacceptable village, one of those, population approximately 19, one of those green, official signs. But it looked pretty acceptable to me, though. The people that live in there have said, Seattle police have visited and said, don't get comfortable as they're loading propane canisters into Tiny Unacceptable Village, where they look pretty comfortable to me this morning. And I don't know. Are they going to be super duper unacceptable later on today? I don't know. But anyway, we'll put that together. Me and Steve, one of our multimedia mavens, who's entirely fairly acceptable.
This is not acceptable. Not acceptable. We need action. This cannot be acceptable.
I accept him. So anyway, we'll get that up at ktth.com later on today. And all right. So pivoting to the assassination of George Santos. If you haven't heard about this, somebody tried to assassinate George Santos. Who says that? George Santos. No, really. So anyway, the congressman that cried crossdresser is now claiming that someone tried to assassinate him. That and more. Also, a checking of your texting, 800-465-8770. We'll be back with that
Jabroni
right after this on AM 770 KTTH.
DNA is matched back to that man, Brian.
Suits on AM 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here. I'm repeating myself. It's 8:30, time for a checking of your texting. And one topic in particular is dominating this morning's textings. By the way, let's start with let's throw a bunch in. 714, a 206, Aquamom. They all say she should sue TikTok. And my question, too, Julian Tacoma Aquamom says, so why doesn't the city of Seattle bring on lawsuits against TikTok and YouTube for the increase in car thieves? And again, because they are spreading the knowledge. Like, if you were doing a YouTube video on how to convert an AR-15 to full auto or three-round burst, it would be taken down. So that's my question for YouTube or or TikTok. And finally, somebody is using the moniker Tom Tuttle from Tacoma, Washington.
So fight, fight, fight for Washington State and Vic. Sorry.
Such a funny Oh, I have to watch the rest of that movie later on today. Anyway, Tom Tuttle from Tacoma, go Coug, says, quote, you can steal an old Ford truck with just a screwdriver. True. But do you here's the thing. The reason that I bought the Ford Explorer pickup variant called the Sport Track in 5-speed manual is the same reason no kid is going to Google or TikTok how to steal an old Ford truck with a screwdriver. They don't know. But anyway, if they did, would they use it for other crimes? I don't know.
From the 310, guys, it's a very exciting day. We had our very own unhoused man huddled up near our office's back door, getting some rays of the morning sunshine. I've learned he's resources resistant. He looked how my puppy looks when he sleeps in the sunshine. We moved our office 5 years ago to get away from this issue, but it is spreading.
Greg, this is a note to you. This is an oddly supportive one.
Oh, that's strange.
That's an outlier from the 310 area code, which is Montesano. Greg, as the head executive producer of the Brian Suit Show, you need to limit overuse sound bites. Brian's compulsive brain is addicted to sound bites like homeless drug users. Fried brain is addicted to fentanyl.
We are still smelling a lot of
forbidden essences
in the air.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
That's not me. That's great. Yeah, that's a good matchup. Wait, that'll break my habit. Chemicals. He can't help himself. He's literally a slave to the sound bites once he plays them over and over, like a mind parasitic virus.
Oh, they're dopamine hits for you for sure.
Yeah, they are. That's a great explanation. And that's also, by the way, that's why you'll hear one 8 times in one day, and then weeks later, people will say, "What do you eat, hockey?" No, he's right there. He's always right there.
It's like a catchy melody.
He's not my slave. He gets to chime in whenever he wants.
They're your own personal earworms. From the 541, good morning. Probably nobody noticed the dejected tone in producer Greg's voice when, Brian, you asked him how many millions of dollars Inslee has spent on the status quo of the unacceptable homeless situation. We are all comfortably numb. Cue the Pink Floyd track. Well, I didn't have that handy, but I do understand the reference.
And I think...
This is not acceptable.
I think I'm in the right ballpark, like 460 million. That was in the state of the state.
Yeah, what's 100 million here, 100 million there, a billion there?
Yeah, just raise our income tax. Oh, wait. So that's the other thing, is that that's the next step. I promise you, like the leper's bell, homelessness is going to be the reason that they start proposing a income tax. For Seattle, city Seattle, I don't care. Go ahead. King County, have at it. But no state income tax.
From the 509, guys, how do I listen to the fourth hour of the show? I have two kids, so yes, I do listen to the podcast. Well, we've only got three.
Yeah, get a bit of news there, 509.
I try to get them up in a timely manner. Usually all 3 hours are posted before 10 a.m. on a daily basis.
Well, I know you're all saying, what was that tease about George Santos being assassinated? Don't worry. Calm down. Don't harm yourself. He's still alive. It's just that as of yesterday, his new lie as a head fake away from the fact that he's not bad looking as a crossdresser. And I say that because I'm completely secure in who I am. And I can call something what it is. He makes a better Brazilian female than a Brazilian male. Anyway, he reveals that there was an assassination attempt, and like dogs seeing you get out of the car with a bag of fresh beef bones from Stewart's right there in McKenna, then the press absolutely chases him and wags their mics in his face. They want an explanation.
No remarks for you guys right now, as I said earlier, but when there are remarks to be made regarding anything you guys want, we will make those remarks. I just hope you guys patiently wait.
So y'all call that, when there's remarks to be made, we'll make those remarks. What are you missing here?
We will make those remarks. I just hope you guys patiently wait, and in the interim, we will be in touch.
Regarding the assassination remarks, did you file any police report? Any details?
That's up to you guys to investigate. You guys do such a good job at investigating everything.
That's the best. That is, I got to say, that's so far the answer of the news arc on George Santos is, you tell me. I don't know. But if you're going to ask him about the assassination attempt, the meta meme follow-up is...
We will be in touch.
Regarding the assassination remarks, did you file any police report?
My question would have been, did you die?
God willing, he'll be able to talk about it at a future date.
Representative Santos, did he die? That's the thing. I think I have drilled down on this. If you're killed as a non-elected official, then that's a murder. But if someone tries to kill you when you're in elected office, that's an assassination or attempted assassination.
Important semantics discussion. Yes.
Yeah, unless you're personally known to that judge or you know, whatever, you know, assassinating a president is a very impersonal act. You're assassinating him. You've never met him. It's because of their policies or a judge or whatever. Just like a coup is a violent overthrow of a government. A putsch is a failed coup. That when you try it as a German and it doesn't never ever works, that's a putsch. But when it succeeds, that's a coup, or revolution or whatever. An assassination is an attempt at killing a public official.
Did
you die?
Any details?
That's up to you guys to investigate. You guys do such a good job at investigating everything.
And he does that as a mic drop because he's waiting at the elevator. That's his move. His advanced guy, when they come out as a phalanx, he has an advanced guy that summons the elevator. Then he fields the questions with that sort of disdain for the, why are you even asking me this? And he's got his eyes on that. He's looking up at the elevator going, 3, come on. 2, okay, let's be here. And then he seems to time it with the ding, with the arrival.
Any details?
That's up to you guys to investigate. You guys do such a good job at investigating everything.
And the door closes. So he's got that down. There's a pattern. He runs down the hall. The press chases him. And the only thing I can, when he comes out of that door, you know, they're all leaning up against the wall. The whole thing, he may come out, he may not, but when he does, it is like walking in the front door. If you have more than a dog, and, you know, no, if you have a dog and it senses that you have treats, it is, that's when it's really your best friend, your bestie best friend.
Last text from the 253 here commenting on the fact that I cleaned out my car yesterday. So if any thieves try to break in, they'll get nothing and like it. 253 says, I would be really put out if a thief took my stash of 8-cent grocery bags from my truck. Just a public service announcement. Clean out your cars, everybody. Why would you have valuables in there in the first place unless you absolutely...
This is not acceptable.
And in plain view, by the way.
Right.
Like I...
You'll get nothing and like it.
This morning I realized when I was out at Unacceptable Village, when I go out, I have a media credential, and my media credential says, you know, yea, verily, heretofore, before, by the powers vested in me, by the Bonneville Radio Corporation and the City of Seattle, I am a member of the media, and you must do what I say. I can commandeer your automobile and whatever. It doesn't quite say that, but this morning I'm like, oh, crap, did the guy... Did Burgle McScumbag, the Eastlake burglar, take that? And then I realized, no, it's all in one. It's in my camera bag. My media credentials in my camera bag. And the reason I know that's because it's in plain view in the back of my car. So anyway, we'll see if it's there. Police death in custody, but with the difference, you're not going to hear about this one. And I'll tell you why right after this. AM 770 KTTH. We'll be right back. Crump alert. We have a Crump alert. Benjamin Crump alert. AM 770 KTTH. Brian sits here, but not in the normal way, because you probably haven't heard of this story. Tyree Nichols, a 29-year-old, let me read directly from CNN, quote, Tyree Nichols, the black man who died 2 weeks ago after a confrontation with Memphis police, suffered extensive bleeding caused by a severe beating, according to preliminary results of an autopsy commissioned by attorneys for his family. In a statement, attorney Benjamin Crump said, quote, we can state that preliminary findings indicate Tyree suffered extensive bleeding caused by a severe beating and that his observed injuries are consistent with what the family and attorneys witnessed on the video of his fatal encounter with police on January 7th, 2023. So far, we're two paragraphs in, and we know that Tyree Nichols is a decedent is a black man, 29 years old, family represented by Benjamin Crump. CNN has asked Crump for a copy of the autopsy commissioned by the family, blah, 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 blah. He was pulled over by Memphis police on January 7th for alleged reckless driving, according to a police statement. And according to the officer's reports, they approached the vehicle. A confrontation occurred. Nichols fled on foot. Police said the officers pursued him, and they had another confrontation before he was taken into custody. Police said Nichols then complained of shortness of breath, died of bleeding, internal bleeding 3 days later. Authorities have not released video of the arrest. However, family attorneys who watched it on Monday described it as a heinous police beating that lasted three long minutes. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump said Nichols was tased, pepper sprayed, and restrained, and compared it to the L.A. beating of Rodney King in 1991. So with what you know so far here, that's the first six paragraphs from CNN. Again, let's check. What's it called when they check you following along? What race is the decedent, the 29-year-old man?
We wouldn't know from this story.
I just read it to you. Tyree Nichols, the black man who died.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the cops.
Oh, well, that's question two.
Right.
What race are the cops? Ben Crump is involved. You know, what race would they be?
Well, this have to be has to be a case of white supremacy.
Well, obviously.
And bigotry.
All right. So that's CNN avoiding a very uncomfortable thing. Let's go to MSNBC. Because there could be a statement today by the U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Tennessee, and same story.
This afternoon, the District Attorney in Memphis is set to give an update on the investigation surrounding the death of Tyree Nichols. Video from the traffic stop that police acknowledge led to the 29-year-old's death earlier this month is expected to be released as soon as this week. Last night, the chief of the Memphis Police Department said this about...
So all five officers have been fired. Their pictures are up on MSNBC. So that way they don't have to write it in or write it out or whatever. What you discover is that all five officers are black. So that's why you haven't heard about this story, period. I mean, you hear, like I say, here's CNN with, is it lazy news writing? Well, it's deceptive news writing, at least, but here's the chief of Memphis police.
The five officers fired for violating department policies during that stop.
These officers were found to be directly responsible for the physical abuse of Mr. Nichols. Concurrent within that investigation, other MPD officers are still under investigation for department policy violations.
So if you're wondering where someone got that cheesecake or why that's not it, why there's not another declaration of Chaz, it's because this doesn't press that button. If it was the normal formulation of these stories, you're darn right it would be leading the news, because that leads to more news now, doesn't it? I mean, CNN's not even mentioning, they're covering up for the Antifa, the out of town rich kids that are burning up Atlanta in their own backyard. They're not even calling. They're allowing people on saying, I don't consider vandalism to be violence. A senior advisor for the failed gubernatorial and senatorial candidate, Stacey Abrams, has said violence, because there's this confrontation for an 85-acre training area that they're putting up for Atlanta PD to stop, you know, to better train officers and stuff like that, right? So, of course, Antifa is occupying the woods, and a guy shot a Georgia State policeman in the abdomen, and he was... correspondingly shot fatally. He was shot and killed. And so, of course, Antifa, all from out of town, burned a police car. And CNN can't even call that violence. So CNN, the deceptive part here is they name, they announce and identify the ethnicity of the dead 29-year-old in this Memphis story. But they do not mention, like I say, I'm six paragraphs into it. And that's the TV script. So as far as I know, CNN is also not identifying that the officers fired, the five officers fired for the results and the breaking policy by beating the crap out of the guy, not identified. MSNBC is only doing it by showing their five portraits, their five official photos, saying, oh, these five here. Yeah, they're fired. So if you didn't know any different, it's like, as seen here, the Temptations have reformed or something. But the reason this is not a laughing matter is because this is what burned down Capitol Hill in 2020. San Francisco, downtown San Francisco is never going to recover. The riots and violence are what tipped the giant poop fentanyl cart over in downtown San Francisco. Never mind mostly peaceful protests in, and I forget now, was Minneapolis mostly peaceful?
Yeah, mostly
peaceful. Or was that the one in Wisconsin?
Both.
They were mostly peaceful. Well, where's the one where Ali Velshi's standing literally in front of a burning building and saying mostly peaceful? I forgot. But so anyway, that is CNN shtick, I guess, on that one. Say something so I can find the cheesecake cut. This really calls for cheesecake.
You want to pivot towards the issue of gun violence? Because I heard this quote from Senator Cory Booker yesterday that took me aback quite a bit. And I think it might do the same for you.
But, you know, let me just say the reason that this is not the lead story on Channel 7.
You see someone actually walking away with a cheesecake there after the Cheesecake Factory was looted. Unclear where they may have gotten that, but...
is because MSNBC and CNN, their collective news departments... don't smell viewership in the water, because their viewership in May, June, July of 2020 was huge because they were whipping that stuff up.
Yeah, confrontation between the races makes for great ratings.
And don't get me wrong, video taken by bystanders of a cop's knee on a man's neck for 8 minutes did plenty. But it had a special turbocharged super secret factor to it that led to a situation here in Seattle 2 years later where a federal judge is going to advise jurors that the deletion of texts by the mayor of Choptown, the police chief of Choptown, all that, you know, the ripples of that were media whipped. Chaz never would have happened if a stupid cop had not put his knee on Floyd's neck and all this. But apparently not all unauthorized cop killings are the same. And for CNN, they won't even identify the race of the cops. MSNBC is just showing you their picture. So there's that. So now you may pivot to gun violence because no idea where that cheesecake came from.
Cake factory was looted. Unclear where they may have gotten that, but
one of the number one reasons, if you turn to our founders, that this nation was formed was for the common defense. And now we have more people in America in my short lifetime that have died due to gun violence than in every single one of our wars, from the Civil War and the Revolutionary War to the wars in the Middle East combined. This is a dereliction of duty. This is a surrender to violence. This is not doing your constitutional duty to protect this nation from threats, foreign and domestic.
That is the most specious point you can make. Somehow tying Minutemen and saying because civilians could own firearms, that's led to domestic violence. The total of domestic violence with, you know, whatever. I mean, he could now do fentanyl. You know, how about 100,000 people dead from fentanyl?
And by the way, it bears repeating. 2/3 of all gun deaths are suicides. And about 900,000 Americans have died in wars throughout United States history.
Yeah. Wait, are you counting the Confederate states? Because I don't. That's enemy dead. You know what? You want? Hey, Cory Booker. You want a great race baiting analogy? How about this? More people have died from fentanyl just last year than all the recorded lynchings in the Jim Crow South from the end of the Civil War. I'll try that one.
Yeah, I was stunned by that soundbite there from Booker.
And by the way, the founding fathers didn't write into the Constitution the domestic violence restraining order. Or the red flag laws. Someone said no one ever. What a bizarre species. And I think I saw that. And the anchor was nodding gravely, as one does when one works at MSNBC, which is the exclusive network that he goes on. But yeah, they do. They nod. Oh, wow. I hadn't thought of that. That's a great point. Wait, his point was more people have died in domestic violence than all the conflicts?
And now we have more people in America in my short lifetime that have died due to gun violence than in every single one of our wars, from the Civil War and the Revolutionary War to the wars in the Middle East combined.
And they say gun violence, and they won't differentiate between homicide and suicide. And there's the other giant elephant in the room that Cory Booker would be the last guy to point out, that 50% of the firearm homicides are perpetrated by less than 5% of the population. Oops. All right. Well, good practice Friday. We'll I say full game plan tomorrow. Producer Greg, thank you very much. And we'll get my unacceptable village video up at KTTH.com a little later on today, I promise you. And one last time, let me just do this.
This is not acceptable. Not acceptable. We need action. This cannot be acceptable.
I don't accept it. Back tomorrow for Real Friday, AM 770 KTTH.
In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Wait! Where are you going? I was going to make espresso.